is we've been asked time and time again, how do we actually use social media as coaches? And many of us, maybe even most of us, are total neophytes when it comes to social media. And so Christina had alerted me to her friend Crystal Kostanovich, who has presented to Christina's people in Italy. And I spoke with Crystal, and I just love her energy. And I love this about her, okay? Her passion for using social media authentically and ethically has become one of her greatest achievements. Don't you love that? And so as a coach, and she's getting ready to get her PCC, so that's very exciting. As a coach, it's just wonderful that she can take this opportunity to talk to us about how we as coaches can benefit from using social media. I mean, it's a whole huge piece of the world that we are, you know, may not be tapping into. And so one of the things I would like to have all of you do, number one, always, as always, mute unless you're asking a question. And the second thing is to please go on speaker view up in your upper right-hand corner where it says view. Make it speaker view because that way you'll be able to see this beautifully. Okay? So at this point, I would like to invite Crystal to take it away.
Yay! Thank you so much. Okay, I'm just going to get myself organized. So we're going to put on my screen. So now you'll see why I need to be on speaker view because we're going to this lovely graphic. Okay, so hi, everybody. I'm quite fast and energetic. So if I'm going too quickly, please, I won't be able to see the chat while I'm doing this because I've got two screens. I'm going to look at the camera, and then I'm going to go through my slides. So please, at any point, if I'm going too fast, just holler, be like, Crystal, and I'll stop, okay?
I will monitor the chat.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
And please remember that there are many people that English is not their first language, you know, so
right.
Thank you.
And we have at least one person who has to read lips.
Okay, so, all right, that's fine. So, it's good to be mindful of this, so I will then be very conscious about slowing myself down. So if I now go too slowly and annoyingly, be like, go faster. I'll just adjust as I need to as you go. I do have slides, so hopefully it'll be easier to, you know, I'll give you some specifics as I go, and I'm very happy to repeat myself. I've got no issue saying the same thing over and over. So without further ado, let me get into social media and introduction. So, okay. All right, so just as a quick 20-second introduction, so I call myself the millennial coach. It was when I actually acknowledged and accepted that, you know what, I'm a millennial, and that's actually one of my superpowers, and I speak to millennials. And once I stepped into that, everything kind of started falling into place for me in my branding and my social media. So I like to mention that to coaches, because once you have that, once you've given yourself something that you can own and step into, that brand, your brand and your voice, everything becomes so much easier and clearer. So like Kathy mentioned, I am on my PCC pass. I got my PCC pass from my exam, so now I'm just accumulating my hours to get ready to claim it. I don't know if it's obvious, but I have a drama background, and I have a master's in theater. I absolutely love the theater and drama and the arts, and it's something that I bring with me as a coach and also what I do on social media. I'm a social media advocate. I love it. I think it is the happiest place in the world because it's the place that I curate. I'm in charge of everything that I see on social media, and I'm in charge of who I communicate with. So I think it's such a great place, and I absolutely love learning. So I accidentally got into social media during lockdown because we were stuck at home. And I thought, well, how the heck am I going to get clients? How am I going to get my name out there? And I just dove straight into social media, learning everything that I could. And now I'm here to share exactly what I know with you. Okay, so why do we use it? It's free. That's if you don't know any other reason, it's free. This is the first time in the history of the world that we have access, direct access to people without having to go through agents or doing weird marketing things. We can literally we can strategize to speak directly to the people who we want to coach. It's just amazing. There's obviously also billions of users. So on Facebook, they have the most users, and it's over 2 billion users. The last numbers I had, Instagram was had just gone over 1 billion, and LinkedIn, just in the last 7 months, went from 500 million to over 700 million users. So if you do not think your ideal client is on social media, I want you to take a moment and think again, because they're definitely there. So we also obviously have global reach. We're living in that, the evidence. You know, I'm sitting here in Cape Town in South Africa, and I'm speaking to coaches from all over, which also means that I get to speak to clients or potential clients all over the world. So I've coached people in Japan in the last 6 months. I've coached people in Hong Kong. I've coached someone in Dubai. I mean, there really is just no limit to the scope that we have on social media. Now, this is a really cool reason why I love social media. It really works for you when you learn how to use it and not how to just be on it. So what I mean is by being intentional about it rather than just, you know, consuming. So what I mean by networking is every single client I've had has come from social media, and it's because either someone has referred me and then they've come and they've looked at my social media and they've passively, you know, kind of spied on me before they emailed me and said, hi, so-and-so gave me your name and I'd love to have some coaching with you. So that's most of the clients that I get through social media is through that. And then, of course, your friends, they are going to be your biggest advocates. So the people that already know you, they trust you, they know that you're not talking rubbish, they're going to be your biggest advocates, and they will share your content for you. So that if they have a friend who you don't know who needs what you are offering, you're talking directly to the people that you can serve. Very cool. I just love it. You also get to position yourself as an authority. So what I mean by that is not in an oppressive way. I mean an authority in terms of really talking about and advocating the things that you love. What is it about being a coach that changed your life? Was it the neuroscience behind it? Was it the emotional intelligence that you learned? Was it NLP? Was it, I don't know, cognitive behavioral therapy? What was it in your training that was the moment that clicked for you? You can talk about that over and over and over and educate people. And then people will go, hey, that's the coach that I want because they're talking about something that I need. Very amazing. Then, oh my gosh, this is also so cool. We get to do market research in real time. So what that means is if we're finding that maybe we're offering something and no one's buying it and, you know, maybe there's not too much, people aren't keen, we can literally ask them directly, hi, I've been offering this thing. No one seems interested. What do you want? What do you need? And they can tell us. Immediately, we get it in real time. We can also go and look at our different people who fit our ideal client persona or avatar that we might make, and we can go and look at what are they talking about? What conversations are they having? And then we can use it and go, so the underlying thing going on here, that's the thing that I can offer them. It's just, I just absolutely love it. Then we also get to test our services. So, for example, I've offered a 21-day mindset shift program that I offer to clients. And instead of spending all my time creating something, designing, spending money on adverts, I literally got a group of people who wanted to do it. And I said, hey, let's test this thing. And if it goes well, then I'm actually going to offer it as a service. So you get to do that as well without having to spend – the time and the money to create something that may not even work. And finally, you get to learn from others in your industry and from other industries. It is such a beautiful hub of upliftment and development, and you can find people that are doing something and go, wow, that's so cool. I'm going to try something similar, but I'm going to put my own flavor on it because, you know, maybe there's one or two things that aren't aligned with me, but I can curate it so that it's exactly how I want it to appear. So, I mean, if you need any more reasons, I don't have any. I'm sure I could come up with, but those are my top 8 reasons of why we use social media. So look, I mean, I've had some incredible success. I've had over 73 clients in the last, I think, 14 months. I've also been in speaking events. I've done group coaching. I've done programs. I've done collaborations with people all over the world, and it's purely from social media. I do absolutely nothing else. So there's, unless it's a referral, like I said before, the referral has always come and looked at my social media. And I always know because I ask them. So when they contact me, even if they're not commenting or liking on my stuff, I'll say, oh, how did you hear about me? And they'll say, oh, Courtney told me about you. And then I came and I started looking at your social media every now and then. And eventually, you know, I saw you had a post about you had space for coaching, and that's when I contacted you. So I've literally asked all my clients, and that's how they found me. So it's a really powerful tool. Okay, so now we know, it's so amazing, but now how do we even get started? So the first thing that I had to do as a coach was I had to really think about this. So my first stage in this whole process was my mindset. I had to shift my mindset around what social media was and how I used it. Then obviously I had to clarify my brand. So I told you about how I'm the millennial coach. And then I also had to clarify who's my client. Who, if I could give you an example of the best clients I've ever had, we clicked, it went so beautifully, there was such incredible change, you know, the energy was right and it felt good for both of us, who was that person? And once I actually gave myself that person, that client's avatar, then I could make all my social media tailored to speak directly to that client, which then obviously spoke to many people because as humans, as you know, we're meaning makers. So it's really about being clear in your message and direct. Then I had to go into a planning stage. So this meant now I had to take my mindset, I had to take my brand, who my client was, and I had to merge it and align it so that I could create content that spoke directly to them, that had an intention behind it. So what is my intention as a coach? And what is the outcome that I want, but what is the outcome that the person who's going to connect with me, what is it that they're going to get as well? Because at the end of the day, your viewers or your followers, whatever you want to call them, they're not getting something out of it if there's no value for them. Even if the value is entertainment, there's got to be something that hooks them so they go, oh, I'm getting something from this person so that you can develop a relationship with them. So it's very easy to mistake, you know, social media as a very shallow place because it's often used that way, but it can also be used to make really genuine and authentic relationships. And then, of course, I had to go into the doing. So then I had to execute. I had plans. I thought about what kind of journey people would go through, you know, what is it that I go through as a consumer on social media, you know, what kind of content would I like, what's the journey I go through, and then I could use that and tailor it according to my mindset, my brand, my clients, the content I want to create for them, and the journey I want to take them on. And then you also really have to analyze the data. So it's all wonderful to do all this, but if you're not checking to see whether it's actually working or not, then it's really just pointless. And very often people look at the incorrect things to determine whether their social media is working. So likes and comments and followers are called vanity metrics. It's not only about that. If you've got 20 followers, but all 20 of them are your clients, that means you've got a 100% conversion. And if you've got 10,000 followers and 20 clients, you've got a 0.001, I don't know, someone did the maths, conversion. So you can see that it really, those numbers and metrics, they only mean so much, but I'm going to show you in this presentation today the mindsets, some content ideas, and how you analyze in a different way to really help yourself. And then obviously you've got to audit. So once you've analyzed, you audit it to go what's working, what's not working, and what must I change? Just like we do as coaches. So we're always reflecting what's working as a coach, what's not working, and what can I do differently? Exact same thing on social media. And then we start again from the bottom. So that's, I'm going to give you those 3 points, the mindset, the content, and the analysis today in more detail. Okay, so the mindset shift. So I keep talking about consumer. And when you're using social media and you're just reading things, maybe you're chatting with family and friends, you know, getting updates, maybe you're posting once in a while, you're really using it as a consumer. And we need to shift the way that we use it to go from a consumer into a creator. Because when we are a creator, it means that now we are using social media and social media is not using us. So it's about being intentional with what we're doing, what our behavior is, and what our actions are. So I like to think of it like this, okay? So Instagram and Facebook and also LinkedIn, they are like the shopping center, so the actual brick building. So if you had to walk into a shopping center and you'd see all the shops and you've got the storefronts, our pages, our business pages and our profiles, they are like the storefront. So when you're walking around a shop, you know, you're looking at shops, you're looking like this, it's the same thing as you're going through content. So there's usually something in the window that might get your attention. So if you think of successful ways that stores, you know, catch people's attention, that is what our content does. So when you make a post, it's about someone going, oh, there's a balloon hanging from the front of the store. That catches my attention. But now I'm going to look at the shop from that, which means in social media, if they look at your post, it catches the attention. They might then look at your actual page. And when they look at your page, then they decide if they're going to follow you or not. And if they follow you, it's like they're walking into your shop if you're in a shopping center. Now they're actually taking that step to engage with your brand. They're engaging in what it is that you have to offer. So the content that we create is about getting attention. And even if they're not going to come to our page and walk into our shop, it's at least going to get them to spend a few seconds interacting with our brand just by looking at it. Because the next time they walk past or the next time they see content, they're going to remember, oh, yeah, I saw this before. And then we start building the relationship that way. So very often people think that social media is quick, actually quite a process. And not only are we creating content, so we're creating posts or videos or, you know, if you're on Instagram, you can make stories or you do Instagram TV or you make a reel. There's lots of different ways of using social media to get people's attention so that they come to your page in order to follow you. So that when they actually follow you, you can begin nurturing a relationship. I'm just going to have a quick water break. So, the main thing about social media, it's in the title. It's about being social. So if you're only posting, that means it's a one-way, it's one-way communication. You've got to reciprocate. So if you want people to actually like your stuff, you need to also go and like things. You have to be active. What I've noticed so often with coaches, and especially I'm in quite a lot of groups with coaches, it's very little interaction. We're always posting, but we're not engaging. So you need to make sure you're going and commenting. You're getting into discussions. You're answering things. You're adding value to whatever it is that people are talking about, because it's from those conversations that you're going to make a genuine or authentic connection. And when you add value, when you're not just saying, oh, you look so beautiful, that's wonderful. And again, that's a vanity metric. So when you're saying to someone, wow, you're looking radiant, what is happening in your life that you look so wonderful? you're actually starting a conversation and you're getting to engage with that person on a much deeper level. So I also like to think of, you know, social media as a networking event. So part of me actually cringes a little bit because networking events, I mean, I'm an extrovert, but even going to those networking events, you know, it's so awkward. You write your name and you stick it on and you're like, oh, you walk inside, like, how many people do I know? Oh, please let the person who said they were going to come be here because now everyone's a stranger. That's what it's like on social media. So you're basically entering this networking event with your name because, you know, you're coming with your page. And you're looking around and you're trying to make eye contact with someone. And making eye contact is like liking something. And making a comment on something is like going to introduce yourself. You're going to shake someone's hand. And if you ask them a question, we're coaches. What happens when you ask a question? People answer it. And that's how you create two-way conversation. So if someone comments on your posts, it's wonderful to comment back and say thank you, but if you ask them a question or if you try and get a little bit more information, now you start a conversation and then you're really making a proper engagement with someone. So very often I see, you know, we'll post like an emoji or something. That's very nice and it's wonderful that you do that, but ask a question. We're professionals at that. So my biggest, if anything today, when you are on social media and you see something, make a comment of value, so give insight, and then ask a question. Make it relevant, of course. You know, don't be like, oh, that's such a beautiful picture of the beach. How are you feeling today? Do you want to coach? No, don't do that. To see a beautiful picture of a beach, wow, that's so stunning. Where was that picture taken? Nailed it. Okay, so just make sure you're making authentic connections. All right, so this is always, everybody is like, what must I post? People, like, I think they get night sweats. There's terror. What must I do? Who must I be? How much? It doesn't matter. I promise you, whatever you want to post, post it. I know that it is very good to make posts that speak to your ideal client, but if you're not there yet, if you're not thinking in that way, if it's not clear who that person is, if you're still struggling around your niche, just post things with some value. So write a quote that changed your life and then tell us the story of how it changed your life. What did it do for you? Tell us about an event that happened to you. If you have a journal prompt that you love using as a coach, you know, if you're feeling stuck, offer it in a post. Just do something that's going to offer the people who are watching you, who are going through your content, give them a little insight into who you are, not only as a coach, but as a human being. Because at the end of the day, we only spend money with people that we know, like, and trust. So I'm sure, I hope you've heard that before. If you've never heard it before, surprise! We really spend money with brands that we know, like, and trust. So you, as a coach, you're a new brand. You might not be like Nike, you know? I mean, they are known globally, so it's easy for them because they've created a brand identity. For us, we are starting from scratch. So if you're being seen by new people, you've got to develop that trust. So do whatever you can. Start with that. And then as you see what people are interacting with, you make more of that. Because remember, it's all about the data. You've got to do more of what's working. So I've also got some points here. Not only is it, you know, important to post things that are client-centric, you also need to make sure that it's platform-dependent. Now, what that means is each platform has their own dimensions for their content. And they do it very purposely. They want the content to be native. They want it to look native to their app because it's their differentiator. Just like us as coaches, our niches or, you know, our interests, those are our differentiators. So if you're on Instagram, you have to use a square. Don't post in any other format because it's not going to perform as well. If you're doing an Instagram TV, make sure that your phone is in portrait mode. Otherwise, they are going to lower your reach because they want it to be native to their platform. So you just have to honor that. And then, of course, you know, wherever you post, be mindful of that actual platform. So on Instagram, you're not going to go into blog-style writing because it's visual. So rather do something visually with a sentence or a word or with a picture that, you know, tells us a story or a carousel that we can swipe and, you know, and get to know something every time we swipe or something like that. So you've got to make sure that you're going, you're taking notice. Where am I posting? How are people's mindset when they're on this platform? And what can I do to convey my message while aligning it to this platform? So that's, I know it sounds complicated. Complicated in the beginning. It gets easier as you go. And then very important thing. So I've done courses with Facebook and I've worked with their some of their marketing strategists. And they like to repeat over and over and over again. If your picture does not relate to the content you write about, and remember, they scan everything, they will suppress your reach because they want people to be authentic. They want authenticity. The fact that people are doing other weird things, human behavior, we all know. But they want whatever the picture says to match what the caption says. So obviously if you're putting a picture of a beach and then you're talking about, you know, maybe the ebb and flow of your emotions, cool, it's going to match. But make sure that it does match. And, you know, on top of that, it also creates trust. So if we post, if you have to post a picture of a pumpkin and then talk about Christmas, people are going to go, whoa, what's happening here? And actually it lowers their sense of trust with you as a brand as well. So it really works in your favor to make sure that they link up.
Me estás cayendo, mi amor. Te me estás cayendo.
¿Cómo se dice? Did I mistake?
Yes, hold on. I'll get her.
Okay, no problem. Okay, then of course, be authentic. So what I mean by that is you don't have to always be on, okay? So it's also nice to show the human side of you. If you're having a day, you know, like you've stayed in your pajamas, you got your coffee, or maybe you've put on a shirt, but you've got your pajama pants, but you're swimming all morning, it's great to show that because it shows that you're human and it shows that you're approachable. And when you're authentic and approachable, then people will approach you. And then it's also really important to have a call to action. So if you're not asking people for engagements, if you're not asking them to do something, you cannot expect them to do something. So it's really important that your profiles and your pages are set up correctly, the way that you write your content. If you want someone to engage, ask a question or ask them to say something in the comments. So say me too if you agree or whatever. You, as long as you give people a call to action, it, you know, it takes away the pressure of what must I do with this? So you're actually like making it much easier for the viewer. And then videos always have the highest reach out of everything. And they do that because you actually can make more of a connection with people via video. So if you're not comfortable making videos, don't worry about it. If you do enjoy making videos, go for it. Don't worry too much about formatting and everything. Just get some videos out there to begin with. You'll always learn how to make it better as you go along. And even if you don't like video, but maybe you enjoy reading, read something, record your voice over a picture, and it's a video. Make a video. It's so easy. And then a last thing, make sure format matters. I made sure that I wrote that twice there. Your format matters. Okay, then. The difference between profiles and pages. So I spoke to you earlier. I just mentioned that, you know, your pages need to be set up correctly. Your bios need to have, the information. It needs to have your value proposition statement. You need to tell people what they're going to get. If you've got something to offer them, you've got to tell them. You can't think that they're going to go and search and snoop like a detective. Their attention is golden. So you need to make it easy and fluid for them. So I'm just going to give you a quick overview of the differences between profiles and pages. You can use both. I use both, both my Facebook profile page and my LinkedIn profile and page. But it just depends on what you're trying to do. So your Facebook profile, when you start on Facebook, you have to have a profile. It's your entrance into the platform. So your profile is usually private. You've got friends and families that will friend request you, and that is your Facebook profile. You can use it. Your organic reach is incredibly high on that, but you can have a maximum of 5,000 friends. I know that sounds like a lot. It is a lot. But you don't get the analytics, okay? Your Facebook page, however, is the thing that reaches people who are not only your friends and family and your connections and things like that. It actually will also reach strangers. And how the algorithm works is that Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, they are all selling people's attention for advertising. So they all have advertising. So they basically are working against each other to go, hey, you know, use our adverts because we can reach the people. Our people spend 4 hours a day on our platform. You should pay us for advertising. That's really what they're doing. So if your content is engaging with people, and remember, so first that you put that content to get attention, but then you actually have to like create discussions and do all kinds of things like that. So when Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn go, oh my gosh, this account is amazing. They're engaging in discussion. People are staying on the platform because of it. We're going to make sure that we show more people who match the followers of this account. We're going to show more people because we know that their content keeps people on our platform. That's really how it works. So your page will be seen by not only the people that follow you, they can also, or they can actually like your page and follow your page, or they can just follow it without liking it. So that can reach other people, and you also need the pages if you want to do adverts. Then Instagram, same kind of scenario, except Facebook profile and page are two separate things. Instagram, when you go onto Instagram and you first get an account, you have a private page, but then you convert it into a public page as a business account. And that's how you're also going to reach people who not only follow you. And it also gives people, you know, you've got to think of you've got to think of more and more ways to remove barriers of access to you. So if it's a private account, that's a barrier of access. So when you make it public, then people can come and look, just like they've done before with me. They can actually look through all my content. You know, they passively look, and then they get to know me without even having to follow me. And that still works. And that's why I said your followers don't really mean anything, because unless they are definitely your clients, it doesn't matter. And finally, with LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn is a very special.
Before you go farther.
Yes.
I have a quick question for you from Mary Zahorsky. She says, does that mean you don't need two Instagram pages?
Yes. So it's one Instagram page. Some coaches like to have two separate pages. They want to have one that's private, that's just their friends and family. And then they want one that's a business account, that's their coaching account. So it depends. I like to put the two together. I show me and I show my business, because it creates an authentic relationship. So, yeah, that's
it. So I can see a couple of other questions. One is, will you share what platform you're using for today's call? Is it StreamYard or another platform?
I'm using OBS.
Okay. And then if you would share this presentation later.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Awesome, pleasure. Okay, so LinkedIn. So I have a very special place in my heart for LinkedIn because I've really started playing on there, and it is so cool. So LinkedIn, obviously, it's a little bit different because it's a social media platform However, the mindset of the users is very different. They're on there to network and do business. So they are proactive in what they're doing and they're intentional. Whereas on Facebook and Instagram, you know, we're kind of like, well, wasting time sometimes, snooping, whatever. So with LinkedIn, so I'm going to quickly explain the algorithm there because when I discovered it, it was like mind blowing. So on LinkedIn, just on a profile, so that's usually a private page and then people have to connect with you in order to, you know, have that reciprocal relationship. However, if one of your connections engages with your content, then their connections see your content too. And if you scroll on your feed of LinkedIn, your homepage, you'll often see, oh, you know, Christina liked James's post, but I'm not friends with James and I'm not connected to James. But now I'm actually looking at his post because Christina and I are connected and there's something similar in who we are. I go, oh, she liked it. I'll probably like it too. Let me look. So you actually get a great reach on LinkedIn when you create content that your connections engage with. So it's really important that you're making things that are encouraging a discussion or are doing something that is resonating with the people that you're connected with. Very, very awesome algorithm. It really works like a spider web. And I mean, for instance, one of my clients, they sent me a testimonial on a photo and they gave me permission to use it on social media. And I posted it, and then, of course, the client liked it. And then all his connections saw it. Then one of his connections who are not connected to me liked it. And I went through the each one to see how it worked. Then that person liked it, and a connection of his who wasn't friends with my connection or with me liked it. So I was being seen by, I think it was like over 1,000 people, and I'd literally just done one post, and one person liked it again. So it's a very, really powerful algorithm. And then, of course, you have a LinkedIn page, a company page. Now, this is the same as Facebook because it's public, so it's open. Anyone can find your page and follow you. I do suggest that you have a company page because LinkedIn, every single thing that they're doing now that I'm noticing, the brand ambassadors they have for LinkedIn, the specialists that are doing workshops and seminars that I've been to, they're all talking about company pages. So make sure you also have a company page if you have a profile, because I think they're going to start shifting more and the algorithm is going to start working more for those company pages. So that's just an extra thing. And again, you need the analytics. So on your profile for LinkedIn, you can see how many people have visited your page. And then there's another, I can't remember what the other thing is. Whereas on your Facebook business page, on your Instagram business page, and on your LinkedIn company page, you have much more information. I mean, the LinkedIn analytics are so sophisticated. You can see the job title of the people that are looking at your stuff, and then you can make content for that job title. It's really cool. So make sure that you do that. And I'm just going to show you an example from Facebook, because it's the most popular one, and it's the easiest one to show you. LinkedIn is quite easy and user-friendly, and so is Instagram. But Facebook, let me show you. So when you go to the analytics, now when you have a business page, you'll see this window that says Insights. And you can see there, so it says 1,533. Behind that, it says Reach. Reach is the unique people that have seen my content. So that means 1,533 different people saw my content between the 21st and the 27th of July. Okay? Then I've got engagement. So that means that they've interacted with my content. That can be a like, a share, a comment. If it's a video, it's more than 3 seconds view. All of that is counted as an engagement. And it says there that I've got 171 engagements, which is incredibly high because the norm is between 2 to 3% of your reach. So that month I was getting over 10% because my content was really resonating with the people that were seeing it. And then I've got 3 new page likes. Again, I don't really care about that, but it's nice to see. Yay. So now what happens, when you click see all, which is what I'm going to show you, you go to the back end of Facebook. So you're like coders now. You're going to be like web developers, really like amazing on Facebook. And when you get to the back end of Facebook, you'll get this this menu that says overview, ads, followers, likes, etc. And if you go to the bottom, you go to people. Now, the reason I'm showing you this is because, like I told you, I'm a millennial coach, which means that I'm talking to millennials, and I am a millennial, but I need to make sure that I'm actually reaching millennials. Otherwise, I've got to change my content. And if you look here, you can see that the age of the people who are interacting with my posts and who are my followers, the majority are 35 to 44. So I'm doing well. I'm hitting my millennial target. My second highest is 25 to 34. So I'm getting a bit of a millennial thing going on there. But I'm also hitting the Gen X and some early boomers. So I'm doing okay. I mean, my content is really going across the spectrum there. But I can see that I'm definitely hitting my millennial target. Then if you go up to posts, now this I love. So you can see there, so it's on that same menu, so people was at the bottom. So if you go halfway up and you click posts. Now I can see when the majority of my fans and followers are on Facebook. So first of all, I can see that over 300 of my followers are on Facebook every single day. So for me, it's a good idea to post every single day because they're there. And the more I post and the more they see my content, the more they're going to get to know me. Now, I think I've got under 400 followers. I'm consistently deleting followers, especially ones that don't match my ideal clients. Again, because if they don't match my ideal clients, they're going to clog up my algorithm, and I don't want that. So you can also see that there's a graph. Now, that is the time that they're online, and obviously the dip is where most of them are sleeping, and it's Pacific Standard Time. So that means that it's, I'm going to lie, I think it's 9 hours behind, something like that. So when I look at that, I can go, oh, everyone's online at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard. That means that it's 8 p.m. in South Africa. So if I post at 8 p.m., the chances are that more people will see it and interact with it, which means that Facebook's going to go, oh, my gosh, Crystal, your content is so amazing. I'm going to show more people who match the demographics of the people who are interacting with your posts. And that's how you reach more people. Now, a little tip here. When I first started using Facebook, it wasn't as simple as me posting and people liked it immediately. There was actually a delay. So the next time you start posting, just take note of how long it takes for people to interact, because that means that there could be a slight delay on your posts. So when I first started posting, it took about 2 to 3 hours before I started getting likes and comments. So what that means is if they're online at 8 p.m., I was posting between 5 and 6 p.m. so that by 8 p.m. my content would show up. So that's just a little extra tip for you. And that's it.
Real quick. We have a message here. Given our ICF new ethics code, can you reset those analytics instead of just men and women to include LGBTQ?
I wish you could. We are not in control of how the categories are used. And of course, remember that people can, I think that when you are actually going onto Facebook now, I think there are new options. So they really need to update the analytics, and I would definitely write to Facebook and tell them to do that. But yeah, we're not in control of that. So unfortunately, and they're still also calling it gender. So I have a problem with that too, but that's my own thing. So yes, so that's what I have for you today. I'd love more questions. If there's anything you want me to clarify, give more information, let me know.
Okay. Diane.
Yes. So you said that you delete people on Facebook. Yes. I want to hear more about who that is, because you said it clogs your algorithms.
Algorithm. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What a great question. Okay, so what happens is, remember, when people are interacting with our content, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn are going to show more people like that, our content. So if the people who are following me are not matched with my ideal clients or the people who spend money or hire me for coaching, it means that they're going to connect with my content, and then it's going to reach more people like them, but that's not going to do anything for me because they're not my ideal clients. So that's why I'm constantly, maybe once every month, once every 2 months, I go through if people are dormant as well. So if I have followers that actually aren't using social media, I also just remove them. It's not hard feelings. It's not personal. It's business. I have to make sure that I'm being seen by people. Otherwise, my content will fall flat and then I'm not reaching anyone. So that's why. And they don't know. They don't get a notification. So you don't have to worry about any of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Anyone else? Any other questions? This has just been fascinating.
Oh, good.
I learned so much.
Take it.
Here, Terry Belf asks, how much time a day do you spend on social media?
Okay. So, I don't post every single day. I would say I spend one full day a month creating content. So I think ahead, I have a goal and then I reverse engineer what it is that I want. Whether that happens or not, I've got to first do it to get the data. So I'll spend about a day and I'll create all my posts, I'll write all my captions, and then I spend maybe another half day scheduling it for the month. So the actual putting it on social media, I don't spend any time doing that. I really just allocate time once a month. But I go on every day to interact. So I go on to begin discussions. And it depends on the day. I mean, sometimes I'm loving it and I'm making real connections, so I'll go longer. But I don't allocate time. You know what I mean? But in the beginning, what I would do is I'd spend about, I'd say maybe 15 to 20 minutes of intentional social media. So not just scrolling and like, oh, what am I looking at? Like, let me go and see what people are talking about. Let me engage in a discussion. That's all you really need to do. And you don't even have to do it every single day. Yeah.
Okay. We have another question. Do you recommend hiring someone to handle your social media?
Oh, okay. So I have a conflict with that. It would be a good idea to get someone to help you, but not to do all of it. Because remember, you are only going to be able to make it authentic when it comes from you. So, and majority of social media managers and strategists, they're wonderful. It is wonderful. Maybe to get yourself started, sure, do that. But you're the product. So when you can show up, when you can do things, when you can interact, then it's better. So maybe you might want to spend a day like coming up with things and you want someone to clean it up. But then remember, it's going to change your tone. It's going to change the rhythm of your speech, the way you write. You want people to connect with you. That you're not just wanting them to see your post. You're actually wanting a connection.
Hey, thank you. Do you recommend boosting posts?
Never. Don't waste your money.
And I have no idea what that means. So.
Okay, so what that means is Facebook is very clever. They give you credit to boost posts because it works. But what it does is when you boost it, it just gets shown to a bunch of people that like things or, you know, follow a whole bunch of pages that maybe they don't actually interact with. You see, the reason that it's so difficult is if it was easy, everyone would be doing it and be successful. You know what I mean? So boosted posts doesn't target the people who match your ideal clients. You can run Facebook ads. That's something separate. When you're doing Facebook ads, you do it from a business manager. There's a strategy that's involved. There's a bit of a process that's involved. And then you can actually target people who are the type of person who would hire you as a coach. But again, it's a process. Boosting is like putting a plaster on a broken leg. Do you know what I mean? It feels like a quick fix, like, oh, everything will be okay. And then you end up with 100 new followers, and again, they don't match your ideal client. So it's a vanity metric. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, I've got two more. One, Raphael wants to confirm that people won't notice if he drops them.
Yeah, they won't.
From LinkedIn?
From LinkedIn.
Yeah.
No. You don't, there's no notification. remember that Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram want people to stay on the platform. And if people keep getting rejection messages, they're not going to be there. So don't worry, you don't get any. I mean, have you ever gotten a notification that someone has, you know, removed you?
Who would remove me?
Exactly.
Okay, here's another one. What is your recommendation around hashtags? Do you have a strategy for hashtags?
Okay. So hashtags are really cool, but people get like very hyped around them. Hashtags are a time-dependent search optimization. So what that means is when you post it, like when you post something and you use a hashtag like hashtag coach, if someone is checking the hashtag coach within 10 to 15 minutes of what you've just posted, they might see it. But majority of the people using hashtags are actually people who are looking for clients or looking for people. So it doesn't always work for people to find you. It's actually better to use to go and look at hashtags to find people, better the other way around.
All righty. So what you're saying is don't use them then.
No, you can. If you want to go, hey, maybe someone will see me, take a chance. What I'm saying is don't lose sleep. You know, try something. Oh my gosh, it worked. What was it? And another thing is you never know which hashtag works. So if you've got more than one hashtag, you have no idea which hashtag is the one that brought the person to you, unless you obviously ask them. So, yeah.
So it's very targeted. How about, is it harmful to your brand if you do not maximize your use of social media?
I don't know. Is it harmful to your brand? No, I don't think it's harmful. Look, you know, the beautiful thing about social media is that it's built in social proof. So you're just adding, like, it's like a testimonial. So I know for myself, and again, I'm a millennial, okay? So who's your target market? Who's that target demographic? If I have to Google someone and they don't have any social media, I'm like, oh, what's happening now? So it depends on who you're targeting.
So it's okay to use it here and there, but not consistently, or is consistently a...
Again, it depends who your client is. Because if they're on a lot or if they're not, they, you know, so for example, on Facebook, over 300 of my fans or followers, whatever you want to call them, they're on every single day. So if I'm posting once a week, the likelihood of them seeing, yeah, they'll probably see me because they're there every day. But if yours are only on, you know, sporadically, you're not going to, like, in inverted commas, catch their attention because maybe you're posting on a Tuesday, but they only go on a Friday. Then what's the point, you know? So you've got to be really intentional and you've got to be really laser focused on who you're communicating with.
Right. Yes, that makes sense. And then somebody asked, Romina asked, what about Twitter?
Oh my gosh, Twitter. Why would you do that? Twitter, let me explain something. The lifespan of a tweet is 7 minutes.
Wow.
That's the lifespan. On Instagram, it's between 24 to 48 hours. On Facebook, you know, on Facebook, there's been a few, like, conflicting articles. But what I've noticed is that people are still liking my content 3 days later. So it's about 72 hours. On LinkedIn, it's over a week. I mean, LinkedIn is amazing. I mean, I love Facebook and Instagram. Look, that is where majority of my work comes from. But I just find LinkedIn is so awesome. So, yeah. So your tweets, if you can think of Twitter more of like a search engine. So Twitter and YouTube
are more like a Google, because you can go onto Twitter and like, and you can search for conversations and topics, and then you can pop onto the tweets and begin the conversation. So yes, it definitely works. But your actual tweet, 7 minutes. That's all that matters.
Boy, that's very telling.
Yeah. Goodness. Amazing.
Well, Crystal, this has been so eye-opening and so informative for all of us. And I know you have classes that you give, and so you will be sharing this presentation, I think you said, and that's got your contact information on it. Yes. So people can contact you if you want to learn more, get a little bit more in-depth on how do I get this started. Crystal's the person to talk to.
Amazing.
So, yes. Wow. Thank you so much. It's just nice to hear from a coaching point of view.
Yes. Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. I also found it very overwhelming when I started. And what I did actually is I started following coaches, and I mean, I use that very facetiously, because, you know, a lot of people were calling themselves a coach, but then they were doing things, and I was like, hang on, that's not allowed, you know? And I remember getting so upset and feeling very, I felt tormented. And then it was only when I started engaging with them and going, oh, you know, where did you get your accreditation? They're like, oh, I don't need an accreditation because I'm just teaching people what I know. I was like, well, no wonder. So, you know, so I also had to filter through all that noise, and I thought, no way. If I'm going to use social media, I want to do it in a way that feels ethical, and, you know, I want to keep my integrity. I don't want to sell out for things and do all these things. I really want to do it in a way that's aligned with this industry that I've come to really fall in love with. So, yeah, so that's why I'm here now.
Well, we're glad you are. Thank you very much. We've gotten a whole lot of thank yous on the chat box, so I appreciate that.